Hello and welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast highlighting physician quality improvement work in Northern British Columbia, Canada. We're casting to you today from the traditional territory of the Kladlay-Tenay First Nation. This podcast is a production of the Northern Health Physician Quality Improvement Initiative. This initiative is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, which represents a collaborative partnership between our provincial government and Doctors of BC, and includes regular representation from local health authorities. Hosting our podcast today is local radiologist Sheer Chewy.
Chronic lung disease, leveraging patient education to reduce hospital admissions and emergency room visits. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD for short, is estimated to be the third leading cause of death in Canada. 14% of COPD patients end up admitted to hospital at some point in their lives for an average of 13 days at a time, and these patients also have the highest rates of hospital readmission and repeated presentation rates to emergency departments across the province of BC. Today, how one specialist physician in Northwest BC is changing the way we manage COPD patients, keeping them away from and out of hospital. My guest today is Dr. Denise Jaworski. I'm your host, Dr. Sher Chewy, and you're listening to QualityCast North. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Sheer. Thanks for inviting me to join your podcast today.
We've known each other through quality improvement work for several years now, and I know you've been very prolific in this field. So you're an obvious choice for an invitation to be our guest on our podcast. But our listeners won't necessarily have the benefit of knowing you beforehand. And so before we get into your work on COPD patients, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about your journey into medicine and becoming a physician. Is this something you always wanted to do, or how did your journey unfold?
Great. Thanks so much. I'll start just by introducing myself. So my name is Denise Jaworski, and I identify as a settler of Japanese-Canadian origin, and I am currently living on the unceded territory of the Tsimshian people. I have been a physician here for about 5 or 6 years, and prior to that, I completed my medical school at the University of Toronto and my residency and general internal medicine fellowship at the University of British Columbia. I guess my journey into medicine began when I was an undergraduate student in university, although at that time I didn't really know it. I was studying microbiology and immunology, and I thought I wanted to be a lab scientist. I thought I wanted to be a virology researcher. And that's sort of what I was heading towards for my whole undergrad education. And slowly over time, I think that changed. I'm not exactly sure when I decided that I wanted to go into medicine, but I think it was just sort of a sequence of events that happened. I took a gap year, or actually 2 years, off after I graduated from my undergrad, and I was doing some competitive freestyle skiing. And while I was doing a training run for a competition, I had a pretty bad accident and broke my pelvis. Breaking my pelvis made me realize that, I probably wasn't very good at competitive freestyle skiing, so I should probably give it up. And it sort of was a catalyst for change. And I kind of went from there to my med school interview, still with external fixation, holding my pelvis together, and fortunately got into medical school. And then kind of that's how my career in medicine began. And then even as a medical student, I was convinced that I wanted to be an infectious disease specialist. And that's what I focused on for most of my time in medical school. And then I ended up coming up for a rural rotation in Terrace in northwestern BC, realized that I loved it up here and realized that I really was a generalist loved to have a broad practice. So I ended up going into general internal medicine and then working in rural general internal medicine with sort of a focus and passion on improving access to internal medicine care in rural communities.
And can you tell us a little bit about maybe the community you live and work in now and some of the healthcare professionals that you work with?
Yeah, sure. So I currently live in Terrace, which, as I mentioned, is the unceded territory of the Tsimshian people. And we're really fortunate to have an excellent medical community here. For a small community, we have a lot of variety of different specialists, as well as some really strong family physicians. So I'm fortunate to be able to work alongside a great group of doctors, as well as a great group of other healthcare professionals. We've got some incredible nurses, dietitians, respiratory therapists, physiotherapists, etc. in our area that love the community, love the patients here, and really get along well together. So I would say we have a really cohesive medical community, and I get to interact with my colleagues both professionally and personally. We go out for bike rides together and have barbecues and do all sorts of things. So it's really, I really would call it a community.
That's great. Thank you. Okay, well, let's move on to your healthcare improvement work this particular project on chronic lung disease. So how did you first realize that there was a need for improvement in this area?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, working in acute care, you really get a sense for the common reasons that people present to hospital. And I've seen lots of people come in with COPD exacerbations. Lots of people come in for emergency department visits, and then many end up getting admitted to hospital for this. And so after you see enough people coming in with the same condition over and over, you wonder about if there's any way to prevent some of these hospital visits and whether or not increased support in the outpatient setting could help to try and avoid presentations to the hospital. And this project actually started after I saw I think it was a storyboard. It might've been an oral presentation. I don't quite remember, but it was by Dr. Denise McLeod, who is a family physician in Prince George. And she had great success with a quality improvement project on COPD group medical visits. So she was really my inspiration for doing this project. So I would say that this is also kind of a project about spread as well, taking her idea and applying it to the setting that I'm in.
And what did your project actually involve, and what did you set out to achieve?
Yeah, so we created COPD group medical visits. So this was done in partnership with a respiratory therapist, and we provided education to patients on COPD, review of their medications, and also help them to develop a COPD action plan. So included sort of both a physician assessment as well as an education and self-management component to it. And we did a total of five group medical visits, including 22 different people living with COPD. And sometimes their family members would join in as well. And our goal was to have a 50% reduction in emergency department visits for COPD, a 25% reduction in admissions, and a 25% reduction in length of stay. And that would be comparing an individual for the 1 year prior to their group medical visit, comparing their 1 year after their group medical visit. And we met most of those goals with the exception of the 50% reduction in emergency department visits. And in retrospect, that was probably a pretty ambitious goal. But we got to a 40% reduction in all three of those outcomes. And I think the most easily sort of relatable or measurable improvement that we got is that we went from a length of stay for COPD related admissions in our group of participants from 26 days before to 16 days after. So sort of saving 10 hospital bed days, which I think is pretty significant.
So that's an incredible result from that project. And it's clear that the results of what would seem a relatively simple educational approach had an astonishing impact in terms of reducing the admissions and the emergency room visits. How do you account for that?
I mean, I think a lot of it was the education component of it and empowering patients to be leaders in their own healthcare and to really understand their treatment, to take direction in their own care. It allowed patients to understand when they needed to increase their medications and also when they needed to seek help in an ambulatory care setting. So seeing their family doctor or seeing somebody for an outpatient assessment before things got too bad. And so I think that these strategies really helped patients to prevent exacerbations. It also was an opportunity to optimize medications for a large group of people in a short period of time. So I think that helped. And then many people working in rural settings know, there's always an ongoing shortage in family physicians. So it was also an opportunity to refill prescriptions for people who no longer had a family doctor and had just run out of their medications.
Now, with knowing some experience of quality improvement projects, was the project plain sailing throughout, or did you encounter any difficulties or problems on the way?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll preface this by saying that this project took place pre-COVID. So a lot of the current challenges that I think would get in the way of projects, luckily we didn't have to face at that time. And I was fortunate to have a lot of really great support people in the project. So that includes Lee Cameron, who is the Northwest Physician Quality Improvement Coach, Curtis Cheslock, who is the respiratory therapist. At the time, he was the only respiratory therapist at our hospital. And then Corey, my medical office assistant, really helped to keep me organized. And then I had an excellent medical student, Nick Broches, who helped with a lot of the data side of things. So I had this stellar team. And I think having that team working on the project made things as easy as they could be. The visits themselves, the group medical visits, were quite busy, especially trying to review the medications for all of the participants there. And so I also had some medical students and residents who would join some of the visits, both for their own learning and also help to support the visits. We also used a lot of tools like templates to document the visits, pre-filled out prescriptions that we just had to sort of make small modifications for people to try and optimize the flow and be efficient, as efficient as we could.
That's great. Now, looking back on the project, now it's done, were there any lessons learned? And if you had to do it again, is there anything that you would do differently?
So I think one of the big things that I would have liked to see is more engagement from family physicians in this project, so that family physicians could actually help take this on to be part of their routine practice. Because a lot of what we were doing in these visits, I think, could easily be done by a family physician who had a little bit of extra comfort in COPD. And I think that would allow for more spread and more patients to have the opportunity to participate in this. So I think more of a focus on engaging other physicians to be a part of this is something that I would have done in retrospect. And then also, I think just holding more sessions. I think the benefit was quite strong for the patients who participated. So I think if I could go back, I probably would have tried to fit in a few extra sessions to increase the number of people that participated.
Now, this project was supported by Northern Health's Physician Quality Improvement Program. How did this program help you with this work?
First of all, this project was supported with seed grant funding. So that was really helpful for developing training materials, supporting personnel to be involved outside of regular work hours. And that allowed us to meet a schedule that worked better for patients. And then printing materials and we did have snacks at our group medical visits, but actually nobody really cared about the snacks. So that probably wasn't an essential part of things. So the funding support was was really helpful. But the other thing was the PQI coach. So Lee Cameron supported this project, and she was really helpful coordinating with coaches in other communities. So we actually ran a few sessions in Haida Gwaii, and Lee was instrumental in making those connections. And she really kept me organized and also made sure that all the evaluation material was completed.
Well, thank you for taking us through the work. What's next for this work now, and what's next for you?
Yeah, so I think in terms of the COPD work, the next step is to really get this integrated into routine care for patients in our region. We definitely had to take a break because of COVID, especially anything in a group format had to get shut down. And we started to have discussions at least about building the education component back in as more of a regular program. So I think that's one step related to this particular project. I've been working on some other projects to just try and streamline processes such as perioperative cardiac risk screening for individuals who are undergoing elective surgery. But I think right now, and that project is also sort of wrapping up, but I think right now from a QI projects perspective, I'm focusing more on just building QI into a part of my daily routine. So making small changes to improve efficiency and workplace in my own practice and eliminate waste rather than taking on any bigger projects right now, just because COVID's been really exhausting for everybody. And I think focusing on small wins is really important right now. And then the other things that I'm doing sort of related to quality improvement is supporting other physicians with QI training. And then those who want to take on projects and improvement projects in their communities, really helping to support them so that their projects can be successful.
Oh, that's great to hear. You always seem to have so many irons in the fire when it comes to quality improvement. I think that's excellent and really inspiring. But for the average physician in their practice in the North, what do you think are the biggest obstacles for physicians who maybe they want to improve the quality of their practice and the care they give, but come across barriers?
I think the biggest barrier by far would be resource limitations, and in particular, health human resources. Also just related to navigating complex systems where physicians in sort of northern and rural areas want to support their patients to achieve the best care that they can, but often a lot of that care is not available locally. And so trying to navigate these systems outside of your own region can really be challenging for patients and for physicians.
And can you think of any solutions to help people overcome these barriers, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I think that there could be a better appreciation for the rural environment from colleagues living in urban areas. So when patients do need to travel for care, more flexibility in terms of coordinating care. And then also, I think that sometimes rural physicians and northern physicians get frustrated when communicating with people in larger centers who don't understand the context. I mean, I can think of an example where I was asking for help about a patient and I was told that I needed to advocate for better services in a certain area for a patient. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, wow, like I could give you a list of 50 things that I've been trying to advocate for my patients, but we just don't have the resources. So it kind of can be a bit demoralizing when you're told something like that. So I think a little bit of it would be nice for some of the people from larger centers to kind of walk in our shoes for a bit and sort of see what we have available to us. And then I think other things that would be helpful is just navigators to help coordinate care for patients that is not available locally. And then finally, I think a better integration of physicians into health authority healthcare teams.
Wow, those are great insights. Thank you. And so lastly, on the topic of quality improvement, to you, what does the term quality healthcare actually mean?
Yeah, so I think quality healthcare for me means equitable access to evidence-based care that's delivered in a person-centered way.
Thank you. That's a great answer. Okay, let's change tack now. I'm very conscious that the demands of work on physicians in the North can be pretty intense and potentially overwhelming at times. And I think you've alluded a little bit to that. And I also happen to know that in addition to your specialist practice, your hospital work, and all this quality improvement work you do, you also have a young family at home. How do you manage to juggle all these balls at the same time and keep them in the air without burning out, if you don't mind me asking?
Using the juggling analogy, I think the best way I can explain it would be you actually have to pick which balls are okay to drop. And I think I look at two different groups of things that you need to prioritize, and prioritizing things that are important. So whether it's important to your family or important to the care of your community, and then also prioritizing things that are enjoyable and give you joy in your work. Cause I think that's important to find that balance. And so that means setting healthy boundaries and also realizing, especially in underserved communities, that there's a lot of need. There's a lot going on, but as a single person, it's not my responsibility, nor is it realistic for me to be able to fix everything. And so just setting boundaries and sort of focusing on achievable goals.
Well, that sounds like a great and very healthy perspective. Thank you. So we've reached the end of the interview now, and I have just one more question for you. What do you enjoy about living and working in Northern BC?
The community aspect of living in a small community, having strong relationships with lots of different health care professionals and just non-health related people in the community. Really getting that sense of togetherness. And then also just, it's a beautiful area. There are incredible mountains, rivers, lakes, oceans, etc. all around. And so just having that close proximity to the outdoors is one of my favorite things about living up here. And then of course the lack of traffic is probably a really major benefit too.
That's a great answer. Thank you, Denise. And thank you for coming in today and talking with us. It's been great having you, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors and particularly your quality improvement work. So we're coming to the end of the interview now. I can hear the closing music. Thank you to our listeners today for joining us. If you want to find out more, you can follow the links to our website and the show notes. But until next time, you've been listening to Cher Chewy, and this is QualityCast North.
Hi there, Andrea coming to you from the traditional territory of the Treaty 8 peoples here. We wanted to take a moment to thank you for joining us for this episode of QualityCast North. We're supported by the Northern Health Physician Quality Improvement Initiative. This podcast has been produced by Dr. Shear Chewy, Andrea Goodine, and Deanna Danskin. Recording and productions is done on site at Blake Productions. Editing, sound, and technical support have been provided by Matt Walker of Blake Production. Original music was created, performed, and recorded by Daniel Chewy. Artistic support by Reggie Goodine. Show notes, like Dr. Chewy said, and other information is available to you from the Physician Quality Improvement Program here in the North. It's available on our website, nhpqi.ca. Thank you.